Welcome to Bravo Critics, Roni Edition. I'm Arielle.
And I'm Ricky. Join us on this journey to relive the glory days of The Real Housewives of New York City.
In 2022, we are watching one season each month with a fresh set of eyes.
Here, it's always turtle time, where we're going to mention it all while making it nice.
So grab a drink and hang with us. Everyone's a critic.
Hey guys, welcome back to Bravo Critics. Ricky and Arielle here, and we have finally gotten about halfway through. We're on season six now, so we're here to share that with you guys.
Hell yeah. Season six was good too. There was a lot of shit that I didn't even realize happened. I forgot about.
This particular season is almost like season four is for you. I don't think I watched this particular season very much, and like it's sort of a weird season, but there's so many little gems in there that I forgot about.
No, I thought that too. It probably a little bit more than halfway through this season, I was like, this is another season that I don't think that I've gone back and watched too much of. I think I actually thought that at one point when they were remodeling Carol's apartment, because it's like, oh, I remember this, but I don't.
I know. I completely forgot about that too. And it's like weird stuff like that. It's like, I guess I must be like, okay, I don't want to watch the Montana trip usually. Cause I mean, it's not the most exciting girls trip they've been on, but I mean, it's like, I mostly know Aviva's leg. And then also like from the reunion, very specifically, I know this is when Aviva says, use your words, writer girl, writer girl.
I feel like Aviva Arielle is not an Aviva fan. So I was kind of turned off by her seasons. And then the leg throw, I didn't like that. Like, so I remember just being like, ugh, like over her by
she
that.
She really settled too easily into the whole, she liked being the villain, I think. And like, I mean, the first part of the season, I feel like she was on like this whole like apology tour, but like too late as far as I'm concerned. But
well, I feel like we're gonna get to talk about Aviva a ton because she really was she was the villain of this season, and I feel like she had a confrontation with almost every single person. But this season was a little different because this was the first season our girl Lou got demoted to a friend of, and although I will tell you this, I missed her more in the beginning of the season. As the season went on, I felt like she was a constant and she was on the couch the entire time for the reunion. So like they say friend of, but I think that whatever happened this season with them putting Lou as a friend of, it made Bravo or the powers that be recognize her worth and how much she really is. I feel like a grounded part of Roni, you know? So, and then we had a new housewife. Ricky's girl.
We got Kristen, and I really like Kristen. I mean, I don't know if I liked her maybe as much the first time watching, but I respected her a lot more this particular watch around. And I really like her relationship with her husband, how it like wasn't perfect. Because, you know, a lot of times on the Housewives, and I mean, they're still together now. A lot of times on the Housewives, they always just want to paint this like picture that everything's going so great. And usually it turns out to be the complete opposite, like this entire season with Ramona and Mario, which we'll get into that later. But, you know, I like her and her husband were really real. And you could just tell, like, okay, they're a normal couple that has, like, the same fights that all of us have. Like, why are you late for dinner? Why aren't you here to take care of the kids? Like,
well, you know, there was the Ashley Madison scandal, though, that happened after.
I remember that he was part of that.
Yeah, his name was on the list, and if my husband's name was on the fucking list, we would not be married. I'm just being honest, like for real, like when that shit went down, and I felt mortified for her. I felt very bad for her, and I was not surprised. So I liked Kristen. The first time I watched her, I liked her, but I can actually say I kind of like loved her this season. I really took to her a lot more the second time. Just maybe I related to her more. I'm not sure. And not saying I relate in the way of my marriage or anything like that, but I'm just saying, like, mom and just, like, I don't know, being real and not having this kind of facade and entering another stage in your life where you're not, like, this young spring chicken, but you're still not, like, old, an old bitch. Like, you're like, I'm not Ramona yet, but I'm not the model.
One of the best, like, parts of it was, like, her basically transitioning from being, like, young model to, like, right. Well, what's next in my career? Because we hear, like, even, like, people saying, like, you've got a lot of mileage on you, and they're telling her, like, she's too old to be a model.
I almost feel like life goes in four chapters, and I feel like she's about ending chapter two, going into chapter three, you know, and she is trying to find her bearings, and she still at that time had young children. I would love to see what her life was like at this current moment. You know, like you said, her and Josh are still married. They've obviously gone through therapy, and that's just from what we know in the early years. I'm sure that they've gone through so much shit, especially with the scandal that transpired. You know, their daughter, she had some issues walking, and they really, like, you know, she like was, poor Kristen felt like she was breaking. She just sat there and cried. She couldn't cook a meal. She
I mean, the poor girl did have a lot going on, and like I do remember watching this season. I was like, man, her husband's a total dick. And I mean, he kind of is.
He was a straight, but I love how she's like, you better check yourself, player.
I mean, I like that she's not the type that just, like, sits there and takes it. I think that, like, she definitely gives him some shit back. And that's kind of stuff I like to see. I don't want to see, like, a woman who's just, like, being treated awfully by her husband.
No, for sure. So we're going to break down all the good shit from this season. But I think what really kind of kicks it off is some of the old beef from last season. I feel like we said, Aviva is in the center of everything. And she almost reminds me of like Christine Quinn is like Aviva. Like, I'll just take to being the villain. I'll just be the villain. You know, like, she really was so self-produced.
Blech. And, you know, she made, like, the whole beginning of the season, like I mentioned, was just her going on, like, the apology tour. And, you know, we saw, like, Sonia, you know, I'm surprised that she took to it so quickly, because she talked so much shit about Sonia, and Sonia had done nothing to that woman.
That friendship was so weird. And it perked the ears of the other girls. Heather and Carol were talking about it. They're like, what the fuck happened there? And Luann was like, this doesn't sit right. Like, she's BFFing it up with Aviva.
What exactly. And like, so I remember, like, Sonia's like explaining it to Ramona, and Ramona's like, she's sugar, spice, and everything not nice. And, you know, she, like, Aviva's or Sonia keeps on telling Ramona, like, you know, we just need to move forward and yada yada yada. And Ramona's like, keep talking, Sonia. Talk a little bit more, Sonia. I think that's exactly what she said.
Oh my God. Okay, wait. So,
because Ramona was not ready to forgive her, and I wouldn't be either. I'd be like, fuck you, bitch.
Oh, all day. For sure. I mean, I couldn't imagine all the shit that these bitches go through, and then they have to come and film with them 3 months later. I'd be like, oh my God, I can't. Like,
well, it's definitely because, like, at that point, the wounds are still fresh, which I feel like is, like, I think I'm wondering if Sonia was possibly easier to become, like, it was easier for her to become friends with Aviva because Sonia was, like, maybe a little bit on the outs with some of the other girls, just based on, like, I mean, the last
on the outs with who?
They the other girls, because I mean, the Ooh. Previous reunion didn't, the other girls in general, all of them except for Aviva, because if you remember the previous season, Ooh. They were all really hateful to her Ooh. At the reunion. They were all really hateful to her at the reunion, and they were, like, calling her out on her business and yada, yada, yada. And it's actually, I met Sonia between season 5 and season 6. It's actually been, like, 2 weeks from now is, like, 2 years or 10 years since I met Sonia.
I mean,
and that's when she was still doing, like, the toaster oven thing. She was doing a toaster oven demonstration at Macy's.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of that was still fresh in Sonia's mind. So she was like, you know what? Fuck you, bitches. I'm going to go ahead and make up with Aviva, and we're going to, like, just see how you guys like that.
I think it may have started there, but she really held on to that horse tight.
Yeah.
And that was just weird. That was just weird to me. And it was just weird. I mean, it's not, Sonya's sweet too. You know what I mean? And when everybody's ganging up on one, then she's kind of gonna, I think that she would be like, okay, well, I'm not going to turn my back on her too. She really is a sweet woman. So yeah. I see that also playing a part of it. But I mean,
which is funny because like Aviva didn't like Sonya talking about her ex, Harry Dubin, but then they're like best friends while Sonya and Harry Dubin are dating, which that was like the weirdest relationship of the series.
Well, and let's be honest, all Aviva did last season was fucking talk about Harry. So, I mean, it was like night and day. Aviva was like two different people from her first season, even to the way it ended her first season, and then now. It was just like so bizarre. It was like an alien took over her body. She was wild.
And she just came in so hot for Carol early in the season because... Yep. So Aviva is writing her own memoir. And as we know, yep. Carol is the writer girl of the group. And so she just starts throwing around accusations. And like, I was kind of like, Sonya, don't like, why? Because like, okay, so Aviva starts saying that Carol has a ghostwriter. And the other girls are just sort of like, what does it matter if she does? And it's like, it matters to Carol because it's her profession. And
it's her livelihood.
It's her livelihood. And I mean, that story specifically, the memoir about losing her husband is so personal. And to accuse her of going out and getting a ghostwriter, like that just takes it to a whole nother level, especially because of what the book was about.
It was just the agenda. She had an agenda. She went into that lunch with Malice. What was interesting to me, and now what I'm curious about, and maybe there was something I missed, but at the reunion, Carol says, when I sat down with Aviva at the beginning of the season at that lunch, and Aviva asked me, did you have a ghostwriter? She said, at that point, our friendship was already almost non-existent. So what transpired from the end of Aviva's first season, where Aviva's asking Carol to be the godmother of her child, and then the beginning of the second season before the whole book gate even happened? What happened between Carol and Aviva that obviously triggered Aviva in some way, shape, or form?
I don't even recall anything from the previous reunion.
It's something we don't know. It's got to be something we don't know because, and if I have to do my best guess, I didn't miss anything then, right? So there wasn't something like you're like, no, Ariel, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Cause
no, this is what I just came in hot for Carol. Like, I mean, she was actually, she was playing so dumb. She's like, well, I don't know. It kind of hurt. And she's like, cause then when she tells Carol about it, Carol's like, there's no word, there's no street.
Okay.
The line from Bad Cop.
Word on the street. Oh my fucking God. And I thought of Giselle from Potomac because she's always like, word on the street. But I think that the whole thing was just really odd to me. And maybe Carol got turned off by Aviva's behavior. If I had to just guess, maybe Carol was turned off by Aviva's behavior and she began to distance herself. And maybe that did not sit well, obviously, with Aviva. She got triggered by maybe something Carol said, didn't say, whatever. And not, then
there's no way of rationalizing what goes on in that chick's head. Like,
and then fucking Kukui went on her fucking rant, and then here we are. Then we had season six.
I know, and I feel like, why does everyone always try to talk about Kelly being the crazy one? Because Aviva is clearly the most unhinged woman that's ever been on this show.
Maybe just because Kelly, number one, is beautiful to look at.
Yeah.
Let's call a spade a spade. And Kelly didn't have malice in her heart. So.
Yeah, exactly.
That to me, I feel like made it like us feel like it was a good, fun villain, not even a villain, but a good, fun kind of thing to like enjoy. And then now like Aviva, she's just like mean and cold and nasty. And, you know, we love us some Kelly. So,
Yeah, but I mean, and then this fight starts bringing in Heather too, because then, you know, Heather wants to stick up for her friend, and that, like, you know, I mean, Heather's a businesswoman too, so she knows how stuff like that can, like, ruin careers when you go around starting rumors like that. And, you know, she definitely starts taking Aviva to task for that shit, because, well, I mean, her and Aviva already weren't really sitting well, because, you know, they were just like, I feel like, I don't know. Something already seemed off with them too. So something definitely happened.
I feel like, well, I was going to say, I feel like while I may have a few issues with Heather throughout the season, I'm going to say that she might almost be the fucking MVP for me this season, because she really was in some ways so ride or die for one friend, why in other ways she was so just like oblivious to what was going on. But again, the thing with me is she has so much love in her heart, and she just seems to me like to really be a good person and a good friend. And she's really thoughtful about what she does and what she says, and she articulates herself well. But that bitch does not.
Did she learn that in prison?
Wait, but that bitch don't miss, right? So did they have fucking target practice in prison? Because when she aims and cocks back, she's not missing when she fires. And that exactly is what I love.
And I mean, and she's a strong, badass bitch, because so, mm-hmm. You know, this whole ghostwriter thing keeps on going. And so they're at Luann's house, and then it turns into this whole blow up where Heather is like going in on Aviva, and Aviva's husband.
Wait,
and the whoever weird girl. That trick Amanda was. I mean, who was that bitch?
You said trick. That's what the fuck she was. She was a trick.
She showed up. She was a punk. I mean, you know, they'd already been at, I feel like that bitch wasn't going to fit in anyways, because she was like sitting there at Sonia's cabaret-esque show and like talking about so much shit on Sonia. I was like, that's never going to fly at the fans. So you're already going to be like hated. I mean, I was like, no wonder she's Aviva's friend.
I just have to say, I feel like she looks like she got plucked out of New Jersey. Like, she just like, what here does not belong? Amanda.
She seems like one of those people that would be like a shady ally on the side. Like, I'm surprised her name's not Kim.
Well,
like,
yeah,
it feels like Kim, you know, B. We've got Kim G, Kim D. I feel like, right, her name should be like Kim E.
Was she supposed to be a friend of, because that was the total vibe I had for like the first half of the season, because all of a sudden this bitch kept popping up, and I'm like, who is this chick? And now you're talking too much, and now I need you to sit down, and now I need you to take your drunken self out of here, and then now you're hitting on Harry. It was too much.
I know. I feel like she kind of like disappeared as quickly as she came. Like, I can't even tell you exactly when she stopped showing up.
Correct. All of a sudden she was there, and then she wasn't, and I was like, bye. But that was because she was Aviva was bringing her around. Then I think they had the blow up at Luann's, and that may have been the last we saw of her, actually, now that I think about it.
Yeah, because I mean, Heather just like goes right on in, and she's like, don't tell me nothing, motherfucker.
Oh my God.
And that's like one of my favorite lines in all Housewives. It's so good.
No, but I know. I
don't know. Heather might have scared her off with that one.
Well, she said, what'd you learn that in prison? Right? Yeah. Is that when she told her, Aviva told Heather, when did you learn that in prison? Which is so, and then Aviva continued to dig herself in a deeper hole at the reunion, just calling them ghetto and all types of shit. And it was just like, oh my God. But that, I have to tell you, Luann was like, I haven't even been on the season very much. And now I have a party and you guys are acting wild. Like, I'm trying to deal with this crazy Amanda chick. I got Carol and Aviva over here screaming at each other. Then once Aviva freaking leaves Carol alone, then Aviva and Heather start going at it. Then Heather's husband comes into it. And then Heather's like, back up. I'm handling business. And then he was like, oh, my wife's about to beat your ass. You in trouble.
And he backed off so quick. She's like, stay out of it.
And I don't even feel like, you know how like they're like, oh, he's a little bitch or whatever, like they were calling him. I don't even feel that was that. He was like, ooh, you're in trouble. My wife is mad, and I'm not fucking getting in the way and getting my ass yelled at because she's fucking mad at you. Like, you're not worth it.
Considered a mangina.
A man giant. Wait, oh my
God. You guys, I hope you guys are watching Ex-Wives Club. We'll talk about that soon.
Ultimate Girls Trip Part 2, Ex-Wives Club. I love it. What hashtag?
Ultimate so many
Girls Trip 2. I know, right? And I think that we should do a fun little episode for Ultimate Girls Trip 2. What do you think, Ricky?
Yeah, we'll give it to you guys. We want to give you guys everything you want.
Oh my God. And we lived for the episode. So just saying. All right. Anyway,
another time, guys. But
Another time.
Like one of my other favorite parts of the season was when Heather and Aviva got together to try to like reconcile after this whole blow up at Luann's house.
Oh yeah. And a restaurant.
And I think Heather's also like, why the fuck is Sonia friends with you? Like, that's sort of the impression I got is like, why are you going around trying to make amends? And now you're like, but you're also still being a shitty person.
Yeah. And that's when the famous reference was made, right? Where Aviva compares Sonia to the late and great Anna Nicole Smith.
Yeah. Cause I think she said that either last season or at the reunion, but like, no, I'm surprised no one had brought that up before then. But, you know, she was basically like, oh, you know, Sonia's just like Anna Nicole Smith. And like Heather's like, she's on a downward spiral. She doesn't say spiral correctly. I've seen that scene like 20,000 times because I had to watch it just that many times on this rewatch. But, and Aviva was like, I think that's such a compliment. And Heather's like, she died, Aviva. Aviva just like shrugged. She's like, well, oh, yeah, true.
She's like, that's not how I meant it. It was a compliment. It's like, oh, this lady is deranged. Oh my gosh, yes. So Aviva and Heather had an attempt at a reconciliation. How did they keep that going very long? No, not really. But you know, they tried. So there was that.
Kind of, after this, I feel like she kind of like moves a little bit more into the background.
She starts tagging them all. Then she hits Kristen. They go with the kids. Where were they at? They were like some art, like in craft place. She's with Kristen and she's like, watch the language. And then she's like, yeah, you could shut the fuck up or whatever the fuck she said. She was dropping F-bombs and there was kids shoulder to shoulder, elbow to elbow.
What did Kristen even say? Why I can't even remember what Kristen said. She just said something like, what the hell or something. It was something that was very like, small, but like Aviva's like, shut the fuck up. And like Kristen's like, what the fuck?
I know. She was like, exactly, shut the fuck up. So that to me was, I feel like, a real big, huge red flag just being waved, because that was when Aviva really started to become unhinged. So that was that. And quite frankly, Kristen was defending Aviva and trying to be neutral and understanding of all parties and not just blindly taking Carol and Heather's side, even though that's who she seemed to kind of gravitate towards. And Aviva was not appreciative of Kristen's loyalty and she kind of spit in her face. So Kristen kind of was like, yeah, well, fuck you.
And then when they were at that housewarming party, like Kristen was still trying to like give Aviva the benefit of the doubt. And she was like, well, I mean, what does it matter? Like if it's not true, like fuck her. Like, you know,
right.
Like, just leave her alone. But, like, meanwhile, like, they're telling Ramona this. So Ramona's like, go talk to her.
I know. Ramona, you know. Okay, wait. So what
Ramona was... Ramona is a total shit stir this entire season, aside from just being aggressive with people.
Yeah, and we're going to see, you know, this is the last season of the Ramona as we know her.
Mm-hmm.
And then the evolution of Ramona will continue. Because as we learned at the end of the season, her and Mario had begun to have marital issues. So basically,
we're not talking about that, Aviva. Shut it down.
I know. Andy.
Well, Ariel, when are we going to talk about who you're sleeping with?
Well, when I go on a reality show with the person I'm fucking, then
he gave such a perfect response. She was like,
Andy's such a genius.
I love how she's like, you are on a reality show.
I love Andy though. He's like really like, and it's just so fun to watch his facial reactions. Let's just side note, sidebar from the reunion when Sonia's just like blah 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 to him, and he's just like sitting there scrolling, looking at his phone, responding to emails, and she's just going on and on about people in SNL and different skits and things that, and he is just so keeping her enough on the hook without really paying attention to her, and she was oblivious to it, and it was great. But anyways, you know what I thought was funny? We had a little tiny baby crossover this season. We had an appearance from Brandi Glanville, who has now resurfaced on Ultimate Girls Trip. Okay, so good timing, right? And then Yolanda, both from Beverly Hills. So Yolanda Hadid. So
it's so fun. Like they even play like the intro music for Beverly Hills, like when they walk in. And we get to hear all about Kristen's obsession with Elvis, which is such a weird thing for her.
So weird. Like, you're too pretty, girl. Like, enough. But yeah, so that was interesting because obviously, so apparently Brandi and Kristen, I don't know if they're old modeling friends or they've been friends for quite some time, about 10 years. And then Carol is friends with David Foster, correct? That was when Yolanda was married to David Foster. Now David Foster is married to Catherine McPhee from American Idol.
And now it's Yolanda Hadid, because like I think he actually made her change her last name.
That's, I said Yolanda Hadid.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh my God. Cause it was Yolanda Foster when she was on the show. So I actually said Yolanda Hadid. That's so funny. I didn't even mean to do that.
You just already know.
Yeah, I guess. I'm just like that good. But okay. So
you know who the most annoying friend of this entire season was?
Amanda.
Aviva's asthma.
Oh my God. Fucking asthma. I'm sorry. I'm like dropping a lot of F bombs today. Sorry, guys. It's been that kind of week. But anyways, I will say the asthma did come on Fast and Furious and out of nowhere.
Well, like how it's like she made it sound like she like caught it. Like just one day, like the asthma happened to her.
Ricky, Aviva was unable to fly on a plane and step off the plane and be able to breathe. It was detrimental to her health. Her doctor in good conscience could not release her. I mean, is he a liar?
I mean, did he create fraudulent x-rays? Very possibly. You know?
They're like, are these your boob jobs?
I know Kristen's like, I can see your implants.
Oh my God. Yeah. And then apparently after she got the asthma, she lost like 10 pounds. They're like, you look like a skeleton. What's going on? I'm like, I don't think asthma does that. She's like, would a person who doesn't have asthma take asthma medication? They're like, well, what would it actually do? And they're like, make you a little
jittery. It's also like, it's such a stupid question.
Nothing.
It's like there are billions of people in the world that take medicines that they're not supposed to.
My God.
Maybe not billions, but at least millions. And I mean, asthma medicine isn't one of those things that like, you're going to like, it's not like a controlled substance. It's not like, oh, well, I gave her my Xanax. It's like a whole different category of prescription.
Well, my question to you is, was the groundwork or the conversations already had regarding venturing off into the Berkshires or into Montana, was Aviva laying the groundwork for something she knew was to come? Or was it just like the Berkshires maybe? Because she really used Montana as like the zinger, but she didn't go to the Berkshires either.
Yeah, exactly. I think that might have been the same situation, because I think they were talking about it at the spa before they went, and that's the same situation where Ramona like threw her wine on Kristen, and I'm pretty sure Aviva was there and they were talking about it already at that point.
That was the beginning of the Kristen and Ramona rift, which carries on into the Berkshires. But you know, Ramona, and I think we see this as the seasons carry on, this may have been the first time we saw it, the bitch loves a good blowout. So she doesn't like getting her hair messed up, and she got pissed when Kristen said something. She threw alcohol on Kristen out of her wine glass. She didn't throw the glass, but she threw alcohol on Kristen when Kristen was sitting obviously in a pool. But I don't give a shit. You don't throw anything at anybody. And so that was the beginning for those girls. And then Sonia was, and that was when the rift kind of began with Sonia and Ramona too, because that was when Ramona went to the mother of Sonia's young little lover.
Yeah.
And totally busted her out on all that stuff. And basically the kid is like, well, I'm not messing with Sonia Rita anymore. And so Sonia was very upset with Ramona. Like, why would you do that? And Ramona,
she had no business nosing around.
Such a hater. She was such a hater. And now we look back and you're like, did you know what was going on with Mario? Like, were you projecting? Like, what's going on there? So, because Mario was with the young, hot little thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely something that's interesting to think
about. But you know what, Ricky? We got to see a lot with Ramona this season, because we got to see Avery grow up, and Avery,
she went to prom.
Now she's going to college, you know, and that's a lot for a mom, and she's an only child. And I could not imagine what it must have felt like if Ramona didn't know what was going on with Mario, or if maybe had the inklings but couldn't confirm it. And then Avery left. And then that really took away that trifecta, right? They talked about the trifecta always. And then she's left with Mario, and Mario's cheating with some hot little thing. And then her whole life is basically, as she knows it, blown up and destroyed. So
in hindsight, it definitely explains a lot of her behavior.
Yeah. And I don't relate to Ramona. We are two very, very different women in every way, shape, and form. But I still don't think
anything she did, a lot of the stuff she did this season was like way over the line.
Everything.
I do think it makes a little bit more sense, like when you see like her story as like a whole.
Well, and I'm going to say
good about these rewatches, because sometimes you go back and you're like, I know for sure, like at this point in her life, she's having marital problems.
Right.
And I'll come back to that when we do talk about the Berkshires in a minute. So,
well, I will say though, what I was going to touch on that was, I was going to say, I don't relate with her in any way, shape, or form, but when she's with her daughter, I can respect, understand, and appreciate and relate almost to that, you know? So it is something where I'm kind of like, oh, okay,
Ramona. If there's one thing that Ramona is, I think it is that she is a good mother.
Yes, she loves her. Everybody parents differently. We are nobody to judge. One thing is, she loves her girl for sure. Yeah, definitely.
And Avery's an only child, so like she gets like five times the amount of love than
a
two child home
basically. But that makes it harder for Ramona, because she's basically obsessed and has nothing else.
Yeah,
so you know, it's like that's why you've got to keep your marriage strong. So she's like, hey, me and Mario are gonna go live our lives, and Mario's like, no, I've been living my life. Oh my god. And then they show the scene where Mario's like, oh, but the good ones are the ones that get away with it.
Yeah. That was so cringy.
Oh my god.
And it just made you think like, well, fuck, he's talking about himself.
I know. It was sad.
That's like the wildest part about watching these shows over again, is you pick up like weird little things like that, and you're like, well, fuck you, Mario.
Well, you're not going
to get away with it much longer.
But you know what? I feel like, okay, so Heather went through a lot. I mentioned Kristen with her daughter not walking great earlier. And, you know, Kristen and her husband had some issues. But, like, to see them as mothers, Heather with her son, I feel like if that would have been anybody else, they would have gotten so much more slack than any of them gave Heather. And Heather never once used it as an excuse. And we saw her breakdown like one time. But that to me was really heartwarming, to see these ladies as moms as well, outside of the glamour.
I loved like the connection that Heather and Kristen had, because they both have like struggles with like their child and like their child's development, right, physically, not mentally. But because, you know, Heather's son had already had some problems with his liver or his kidney?
Well, so I think it was his liver, but I could be incorrect. I'm sorry if I am.
And he had some previous issues. We talked about it last season.
Right, then his ear.
But this season, it's mostly about his hearing and like losing his hearing, which I would be really interested to hear how her kids are now. I mean,
well,
this was like 10 years ago.
Well, but you have to remember, when they're in Turks and Caicos in a couple years, I feel like something also happens with him. I could be wrong.
Yeah. And that's not a couple of years. That's next season, babe. Oh, next season, like, is like one of the peak seasons of Housewives. You guys aren't even fucking ready for this shit yet.
Oh my God. You guys, we're about to be unhinged. And so buckle up because we are ready. Okay. So what else do we have for the earlier part of the season? Oh, you know what?
Like, yeah. The cracks just continued with Ramona and Sonia. Like,
yeah.
It started with the whole, like, her little baby boy, but then it just got even more because Ramona knew a lot about Sonia's like financial issues that she was having and, you know, the lawsuits and all of that. And I don't know what Ramona's motive in that was. I guess maybe she was just trying to say Sonia's acting irrationally, but then she starts going into how, you know, her house is going to be, is like owned by the bank or something like that, or is going to be seized by the bank. And I was like, what the fuck, Ramona?
Well, I don't, okay. So Sonia does say the only person she talked to about her finances was Ramona. I think Ramona was a shitty friend in the fact that she revealed certain private information. But I really do think that Ramona was kind of like, Sonia, what the fuck? Snap out of it. Get your shit together. Like, come on. Like, be a little worker bee right now. We're going to fix this. Like, you know, because that's...
Ramona's not a person I think that could ever, like, let herself... I mean, not saying that Sonia was letting herself be in that situation, but Ramona is just like a type A person that she's not going to let herself sit in that situation for more than like 0.5 seconds.
Correct. Correct. So it, to her, she couldn't fathom it. It did not make any sense to her. It was foreign. And she's like, wait, I don't understand what's happening. I'm freaking out now. Like, fucking fix it. So that was interesting kind of, and it's a hiccup, and their relationship really is strong, and we see that as the years go on, that, you know, they have their roller coaster. But this, I do feel like Sonia kind of felt like this was a betrayal, and that to me was shady, because Sonia or Ramona did go behind Sonia's back and really did try to destroy her relationship and achieved that.
Yeah. And then basically, like, the fight can, like, the relationship continues to get strained because of Ramona's actions in the Berkshires.
So this is our very first intro to meeting the Berkshires. You know, I think that the Berkshires is like a character in Roni, almost like the Hamptons is. And this is our very first experience with the Berkshires. Yes, we don't necessarily meet Bluestone Manor or Miss Dorinda Medley yet, but we go to the fucking Berkshires.
I know, it's almost like wrong to realize that we are introduced to the Berkshires by someone other than Dorinda.
I know, it's almost offensive, but I can see how much Heather loves the Berkshires and how welcoming she was to Dorinda for that reason, and they bonded over that, so I can get down with it. But I have to say, as soon as they started even venture, they didn't even want to go. Half of these girls didn't even want to go.
This was like the new Quag.
Yeah.
and then by that, that's also like the new Brooklyn.
Oh my God, like, sure.
They keep on pushing these women just a little bit further each time. Like, the first they're like, okay, we're going to take the Manhattanites to Brooklyn. A couple seasons later, we're going to take them to Quag.
Yeah.
A couple seasons later, we're going to take them out to the middle of nowhere to the Berkshires.
From Alex to Cindy to Heather to Dorinda. There we are. But I will say it was funny to me because as soon as they're in the car and they realize that there's no AC, Ramona gets on the phone, on her cell phone, and orders an AC. And I got to tell you this, I don't disagree with her and I'm not mad at her. Why do you have a house that doesn't have air conditioning? I need air conditioning. We're adults.
I mean, especially like, because you can get like portable air conditioning. Like,
we're in America.
She says the breeze feels good, but I don't even fucking believe it. Like, when it's hot, it's fucking hot.
I want the option to turn off my AC if the breeze is kicking good. I want the option to turn my AC on if it's hot as shit outside. That's all I'm saying. So when
Ramona thought it was a fucking garage.
I mean, okay, I will say this. It was, what do they call it, a pool house?
Yeah, apparently a pool house, which I'm actually curious to know, is there a real house on this property now?
Now there may be, but she said what they had like acres and acres of land, 24 acres of land or something, and that they wanted to make their mistakes with building the small, you know, fixture first. So I get it, but
it's kind of a big pool house, though.
I really, actually, really get it, and it's a gorgeous property. Like, I would be happy to have that be my main residence on any day of the week.
But it's no Bluestone Manor. Maybe that's why Ramona straight up was like, is this your garage? Because she's used to going to fucking, like, maybe she'd seen to rent as Bluestone Manor in the Berkshires, and she's expecting some, like, mansion.
I don't know. Maybe. But I will say that Ramona did clarify pretty well at the reunion, stating you mentioned that this wasn't, you almost, the way you described it, it almost seemed as if there was a main property or a main house on the property. So I think that when Ramona explained, it made sense.
Yeah, I think so too. So garage, pool house.
Whatevs. But I will tell you this. It did kind of, I guess, it kind of did look like a garage, but it was beautiful. It was a beautiful garage.
Yeah,
but,
I mean, it looked like a big shed.
Wait, but then Heather makes them like walk and like carry their own canoes and like go to the lake, and they're
Ramona picked the biggest fight, but Luann was also very like taken out. She's like really darling.
Where's the stuff, darling? The stuff.
She's like we have to carry the boats, and like I like how Ramona's so pissed. She's like Luann,
have Luann do it. And that makes Luann really sad when they like make comments about her and make fun of her name like that. But I will tell you this. That scene was part two, the beginning of part two with Ramona versus Kristen, because they get on these canoes. They finally have a little bit of peace. They get out into the water, and then all hell breaks loose again. It's like, you guys can't even let us have a moment of quiet.
Well, and it's funny because Ramona did want it to be quiet on that boat. Because remember how, like, everyone's, like, talking. She's like, quiet! Enough! Like, it felt very, like, Taylor Armstrong. Enough!
My favorite. I use that meme every single chance I get.
But, like, Ramona, I feel like this is, again, like, we're seeing, like, this, like, weird temper in Ramona. I mean, Ramona's always had, like, just this like biting way about her, you know, the Ramona, the singer stinger, as they call it. But, you know, that was a pretty big reaction from getting splashed.
So she initially, when Ramona got annoyed with Kristen, she tried to pick up an oar.
Yeah.
And throw it at her. And then whoever pulled it out of her hand, and then she threw the glass.
The glass came first. Yeah. The glass came first, and then she tried to use the paddle, which, don't forget, it's not a glass. It's plastic. Because the whole
But it was a hard, like, plastic substance.
The whole conversation about this at the reunion was cracking
Heather,
up.
Because what do you want me to call it? What do you
mean? Every time they're like, this, it was a glass. And Ramona's like, well, it was plastic. And they're like, it was a plastic wine glass. And she's like, it wasn't glass. And they're like, bitch, we know.
Oh, like, my God. That was so
the wine shaped plastic vessel. Like,
Heather,
they had to like break it down that simple. Like, it was a wine shaped vessel. I'm
dying. A wine shaped vessel. I sound like fucking Winnie the Pooh because I'm dying right now. It's so fucking hard. This is hilarious because that conversation killed me. Heather was like, bitch, what do you want me to call it? That was what was so good about it.
Because Ramona kept stopping them every single time they'd say wine glass. And it's like, they know it's not glass.
Okay, so here's my question. Do you think that Ramona planned her exit before she even got there? Or do you think as soon as she saw the place, she's like, gotta plan my exit. Let me start getting some PTSD. What was her plan?
I don't think she planned for it to go down the way it did.
Because she left her girl Sonia behind.
She left her girl Sonia behind. I just don't think, I mean, I was wondering like, okay, so like they were talking at the reunion about how she had already previously been talking about trying to like rearrange this weekend and get it scheduled to a different time. Mm-hmm. She obviously wanted to go to the party.
Molly Sims party.
So to me, it feels like she did want to leave, but I'm curious to know how she planned to make that escape before she like attacked Kristen, because I feel like everything from there it was sort of easy to be like, okay, well, I did that because I'm in the setting. The setting reminds me of where, like, I got abused by my dad growing up. And, like, she goes into this whole story with Carol on this walk the next day about making fucking mud pies. And it's like, they even asked Carol this at the reunion, but it's like, how the fuck did she keep a straight face when Ramona's out here talking about childhood trauma and how she would escape to the woods and make mud pies?
Oh my God. I know that, but this is a thing. She had already made a phone call to one of her friends who owned a private jet. So yeah.
Before the hike, she was acting like she was going to be staying, but like, those women should, as soon as she started being like, all right, let's go, let's hurry up and get on this hike, they should have known something was not right.
That's the thing, you know, she blames it on Kristen. Well, I could tell Kristen was still mad at me. She wouldn't look at me. She wouldn't talk to me after the exchange in the water, even though I apologized. And so had she, like Heather said at the reunion, been honest and just said, look, I feel uncomfortable, horrible and stupid after what transpired, I'm leaving. They would have respected that. She made this entire PTSD traumatic experience, dramatic private plane reservation, ditching Sonia, then showing up the next day or that night at Molly Sims' party in the Hamptons. Like, Luann got pictures from somebody. Of fucking Dorinda at the party. I mean, not Dorinda, of Ramona at the party.
So I said I would talk about this earlier, but Ramona always talks about this story about when she finds out that Mario was cheating on her. And essentially the story is that she arrives in the Hamptons and he's there with another woman. So I'm wondering if there's either two ways this went down. Was it possible that it was this particular time that she showed up because she knew, like, on this trip, did she already sort of know something was going on?
Oh my God.
That's part of why she left?
Yeah.
Or was this the trip
that, like, she,
you know, like, maybe like, was she originally trying to be like, okay, I'm going to catch him again because he thinks that I'm busy filming? Or was this the time she caught him because he expected her to be away filming?
And so was this the initial catch, or was this her really solidifying him being a fucking cheating asshole?
So that's something.
Oh my God, Ricky.
He mentions this story, and like, watching this back, I was like, is this when it happened?
Oh my God, I wonder. Good catch.
He writes that really sappy song for her, which is probably actually his mistress.
I actually thought that. So when he was singing that song, I'm like, he's not even singing to you, Ramona.
I know. And like, as despicable as Ramona can be, I mean, you can't help but to feel bad for her, especially because, like we talked about earlier, like, her daughter's going to college, her marriage is falling apart. Like, she says as much at the reunion that she, you know, she knows that he cheated and they were trying to, like, reconcile.
Well, she said that they were together. As of the reunion, they were together, so.
Yeah, but, which changes before season 7.
Yeah, yep, that does. Because I remember that whole conversation. That was really sad. That's why I say this is the last of Ramona. Watching her before the reunion, that's the last of the Ramona that we know. Because now she's about to embark on another section of her life. But
it's like the exact, like, halfway point.
Yeah, you're right. It is. But you know what? They did that intervention type lunch with Ramona after the trip too, that I thought was hilarious, because they blocked her into
this. I expected that to really be that productive.
And they, like, blocked her into this booth. And I mean, the whole thing,
like, I'm like a linebacker.
Yeah, the whole thing was funny. I don't think they got very far with it, but it was definitely great to watch.
I feel like it was definitely, like, meant to be more for Sonia in their eyes, because when Ramona left, she didn't tell Sonia that she was, like, fleeing the scene or, like, try to be like, come with me, or, you know, anything like that. And, you know, at the end of the day, I do agree that Ramona probably should have just fucking left. That was the best thing that could have happened. Like, I mean, you watch, like, Real Housewives of New Jersey now, and Teresa does the crazy shit she does, and she's not even allowed to stay at the same house. Like, I'm surprised Kristen is a pretty cool chick if she's not being like, no, she needs to leave now. She assaulted me. She's leaving or I'm leaving. She still stayed in the house with her that night.
She's just not that petty. We're petty. Yeah. We're petty, baby.
I know. I'd be so fucking out of there.
I know. Okay, well, tell me, though. Tell me it did not kill Sonia deep in her soul, even though she won't admit it, when they went to fucking Saratoga. And everybody won a bunch of money on their racehorses. And she's like, I'm a pro. I know how to do this. I bet this much on each horse. I do this. I have a strategy. And then everybody won. Not like a little bit, but they won like thousands, like $3,000. And I know in her soul she was fucking dying.
I know. Well, I mean, especially because she was like, I'm so good at this. And then like her like strategy is like, well, you just put down like $2 on like a bunch of horses.
Yeah. And they're like, wait, Carol.
It makes me feel bad for her because it's like she really was struggling financially at this point. And like,
I know.
They were all putting probably like hundreds of bucks down to get the return that they were getting. At least like tens of dollars. But like, she was probably spending like 20 bucks.
To still feel like she could participate.
But I always love when Sonya gets that level of like drunk that she did. Like, you know, she disappears or what, however the story goes, she disappears, gets separated. Allegedly, she comes back. All the other girls went home because they thought Sonya ditched them and she wasn't coming with them. When she arrives at that house in Saratoga that night,
that poor driver. Oh.
She was hot when she came in that house.
That was so, and then nobody paid attention to her. So she goes back in.
Yeah.
So funny.
That's the Sonya behavior that I absolutely love. And like the other thing I love about Sonya is also like this facialist that she has.
Oh my God. That whole facialist thing, that tiny, quick little 5-minute scene caused such turmoil within this group and really put a strain on a relationship between two really solid friends, Sonia and Luann. And that, but Kristen, I will tell you this, that girl stood by her story. She was like, it was funny. She just kept saying, it was funny. It was funny. It was funny. So that's the funny part for me. I was dying because, okay. So basically, let me break down the scene for you. Sonia had a facial, right? She's like, okay, I'm going to bring a facialist to my house. Kristen, come to my house. We're going to do a facial. And then she didn't come home. Sonia did not come home the night before. So then she ended up having Kristen show up to her house and was greeted by Pickles. So Sonia wasn't even there. Kristen comes in, gets situated with this facialist. And then all of a sudden, Sonia comes in and does the walk of shame. And it's like, oh my God. So Sonia comes home and they look at her and they say, Miss Kristen is here. Miss Kristen is here. So Sonia's like, oh my God. Okay. She runs upstairs. By that point, Kristen's already getting her facial and they start to discuss, I don't know what we're calling the word on the street, right? So word on the street is that Luann apparently enjoys short, fat Frenchmen, which is kind of interesting to me because Jacques is French, but he's not short and he's not fat. That's weird, right?
Well, actually what she says that Luann likes short men with thick. And then I don't know if it's accents or thick cocks, maybe both.
Oh, well, okay. I can see it.
Yeah. So I don't know. I love the walk of shame. I loved the gossip and I love how even some of the gossip was about Sonia and Sonia just didn't even care. Sonia's like, ha ha ha.
Yeah. Sonia said she didn't engage. So, and Kristen consistently says she thought it was funny. So Luann though was really hurt by that. I do think she had a reason to feel that way, and I think had maybe Sonia and Kristen acknowledged her feelings and just said, hey, we get it, our bad, you know, then I think Lou would have kind of dropped it. But they blatantly were just like, eh, we don't care what you think, and it was funny, and that's our story, and we're sticking to it. And it hurt Luann's feelings. So that's what I'm thinking. That's kind of how I feel. So
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, that fight kind of continued until we got to Montana. That's when the confrontation really starts. But like, one of the other really wild things that happened before that was George got engaged. Aviva's dad, who's 80 plus, I don't remember how old they claim he is. I feel like it gets older every time he gets kicked out of a place. But
I fucking hate him.
He's just as awful as his daughter. I mean, he's so repulsive. And like, that's like Ricky, almost hypocritical.
Wait, birds of a feather flock together. Yeah. And I'm not flocking with that bird.
I'm not flocking with that bird. That old bird. But it's like, it's just crazy because like Aviva's so hypocritical because she's like so judgmental of like this whole like girls trip last season, and you're out there skinny dipping and you want my husband to walk in on you like that. And it's like, meanwhile, your dad is over here fucking some 25-year-old.
Wait, and they encourage his bullshit because they're throwing his parties, his engagement party with this new chick at a sex museum. So they're like, you are encouraging the behavior. You're not trying to curb it. And then that,
side note, we should go to that museum during BravoCon.
You know what? I did see that. I was like, well, I don't know though. A museum? I might be like breaking
That's a little bit much.
I might be drunk breaking a wooden cock or something in a museum.
We are usually doing stuff like
that. They're like, she's never allowed in the city anymore. Why? She broke a wooden cock.
Lucky bitch. Sonya hasn't been banned for something like that.
I know, exactly. But okay, wait. But then they brought the gorgeous Miss USA.
Yeah. So Leanne had this like charity event, and we've met Cody, who's George's 25-year-old fiance,
whose parents had just recently deceased.
Yeah. Which, sorry, shouldn't laugh at that. Wasn't laughing at that. I'm laughing because of what's going to come up with that in a minute. But they go to this thing, and like Luann's like, I've got this surprise guest here. And like, you can already tell who it is, even though she's wearing a mask, because like Miss Kelly Kaloran Ben Simone has like hair that you will never forget.
I'm taking a sip of my beverage. I will say this. She's got like these shoulders though that are like stunningly broad. You know, she's
like the broad shoulder that Luann has, but a little bit more like,
yeah, she's just
model-esque.
She's a hot bitch. It is what it is. Kelly's
hot. She's a hot bitch.
Yeah. I was happy when we get to see a little glimmer of our girl. So when they took her mask off, we're like, oh, there's a piece of home. That's how I felt.
I know. And like, you know, originally when we were watching that, they wanted us to all be like, oh my God, Kelly.
Well, Sonya.
Crazy Kelly's here.
Did you see how Sonya walked up? She's like, blah, 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 blah. Oh, hey, Kelly. Mwah, mwah. Gave her a kiss, you know, or whatever. And then she like kept doing her thing. But I'm like, because they still see each other around town. It's just they're not filming together, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, you'd almost expect Kelly to walk in and be like, what's up, you gaslighting cunts?
Well, well, you know what, though? Lou and Kelly are actually friends, and they stayed friends, and they are currently still friends. So that didn't surprise me that Kelly showed her face. But
I love the little glimpse of Kelly and Carol hanging out, because that's a pair that I wish that we would have been able to see on the show at some point, because I feel like they're very similar. They were talking about, you know, Kelly put together a book for Asseline about the Hamptons. She's done a couple of those books with Asseline, but it was great to see those two together. But then the rumor mill starts going with Aviva, because she sees this Miss USA and she's like, my dad brought her home last night and they were going to have a threesome, like him, his 25-year-old girlfriend, and Miss USA.
Here's my question. Do we think, okay, first of all, do we think that George had a threesome with Miss USA? Hell to the no. Okay. Okay, Cherie style. Okay. So, Cherie. I know.
She by Cherie.
No, I know. But I felt like I said it wrong, but I said it right. All right. I'm sorry. These white claws are hitting me, y'all. Okay. So, anyways, What I was going to say, though, is we don't think that they had a threesome. That woman is definitely not having a threesome with George's old ass. But I think that maybe Aviva was trying to give a little bit of spice because she knew all these bitches were going on a trip without her. And she was about to be excluded, which is like, if you want to be the villain and you want to be on the show, why exclude yourself from the main cast trip?
And why you've already ruined one cast trip. Why not do another one?
And why have they been getting such shitty trips? No Morocco. No, I mean, like, they got fucking Miami. Like, I don't know. I feel like their trips have been shitty the past couple years.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's all about what Bravo is willing to budget, and also if the women are willing to put up some more money, too, which I feel like is why trips on, like, Beverly Hills, they go to Dubai and they're staying in, like, $100,000 a night suites. It's because, like, Kyle and Lisa Vanderpump are willing to shell out, like, $250,000 each.
Or Mauricio owns the property.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but so. Ramona was cracking me up in this scene with Miss USA because Aviva tells the story. Ramona instantly goes over to this girl and starts drilling her. Like, did you go to their house? They told me this. Are you sure you went home? Are you sure you didn't talk to anyone else?
Well, what time did you go home?
Yeah, exactly. Like, she's like drilling this bitch.
Yep.
And meanwhile, Luann is just trying to shut it down. Luann is pissed that Aviva's bringing this up.
Wait, but you know what? Right before they hit, I think, I may be wrong with the timing, but right before they go to Montana, another thing kind of transpires. So we have that whole stirring of the pot with Aviva trying to get a little bit of the sunlight before everybody leaves her in the fucking dust. Then you have the Spartan race with Heather and Kristen and their husbands. And I think that is another little boiling piece that we start to see between the situation with Heather and Kristen right before they head out to Montana. Because obviously we saw a blow up with the gals when they were in Montana. And I feel like the Spartan race, obviously, Kristen said at the reunion, she felt like she had a lot to prove to Kristen and to her husband. She feels like Heather is almost the female version of her husband, Josh. And that almost made me really sad. And I feel like that made Heather feel disappointed as a friend. And that's how you know she's a good person, because she wants to be better.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Montana was such a weird place for them to choose to go. That's probably one of the reasons why I don't rewatch this season very often, because it's such a boring vacation.
Right.
But we do get moments like Heather and Kristen fighting. And, you know, I'm a little bit on Kristen's side during most of the trip and when they're fighting, because Heather is sort of like, I feel like she's sort of like pushing her buttons by the end of it.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, try to be an encouraging friend. Don't be the person that's like, if you can't do it, you shouldn't do it. Like, she should have been like, you've got this, girl. Just walk off the back of that cliff. You're safe. You've got this. You're a badass. Like, I needed Heather to, like, hype her up more.
Well, I felt like Heather was good friend. Well, I feel like she was, like, good friend. And then she's like, ugh, you're exhausting. And then she stopped being good friend. And I didn't like that. When she was at the cliff, she could have just, like you said, she goes, it's against human nature. All right, well, motivate. Okay,
it's like, well, obviously people aren't just like programmed to walk off a fucking cliff.
Obvi. So that was a little disappointing, but I'm glad also, that,
like,
they were able.
And someone's like, can you guys just be quiet? I need to focus. Like, just,
yeah, it's like,
give them a moment.
Well, and Heather, though, did come to the realization, as she says at the reunion, I realize I'm just fucking background noise to her, you know? So I was glad that they were able to find some resolution there, because there was a lot of love there. But, you know, you also saw Lou finally exploding, because Luann was very upset with the fact that Sonia, not even necessarily Kristen, because Kristen doesn't owe Lou anything, but Lou was very upset that Sonia did not defend her and her name to that faceless when they were talking about rumors on the street. And obviously Sonia's like, this lady is just talking about things that were said. People are saying things about me too. No big deal. But Sonia was, and I love Sonia, but Sonia
almost saw it as like entertainment. Because she's like, I mean, I guess the thing is, like, Sonia might be like of that old school of like, it's better for them to be saying
Something yeah, that nothing. About
you. Yeah, exactly.
Something that nothing. But yeah, but I feel like you don't see Luann become super passionate about things often. So when she blew up on Sonia and was like, you haven't been a friend to me. You know, you didn't defend me. You didn't stand up for me. You've hurt my feelings. And I fucking expected more from you. And the fact that in that moment, I know Sonia was like, gulp. Damn. All right. I'm kind of
messed up. You also have to feel bad because I don't know the exact timeline, but like right after they get back from Montana is when Luann breaks the news that her and Jacques broke up. So like,
yeah, Carol's party. This
thing happened like even, yeah, that's well, when, the, she that's says when that. It comes up.
And that's what she like, says.
She goes, I didn't. She says they've been broken up for a couple weeks or something like that. So it's like, they could have been broken up when they were in Montana.
In Montana.
Like, that could have, it makes me feel bad for Lou because,
yeah,
you know, Lou, like for better or worse, she is like, really consumed by her reputation and people are always trying to call her out. And like, you know, even if Luann's doing all these things and like, they talk about this at some point, like the Countess who's like smoking cigarettes and doing all this stuff, like
let her live her life.
Yeah. Let the bitch live her life. And that's why I like Luann. Cause I feel like then she does start becoming real herself. And then they start calling her like a drunk and like all that.
Well, because they were like, bitch, well, let us hold this over your head. And now she's like, I'm going to fucking live my life and go.
And yeah, because next season she's going to be the one that's like, be cool. Don't be all uncool.
Uncool. Yep. And Heather loses her shit. Oh, such a good season. But you know what? I will say this, though. Sonia knew that she was wrong. And I think that that friendship is really true and really real. And it made me sad when they were like, oh, well, you care more, Sonia, than you care. You know, you care more about Ramona than you care about Luann. And I don't necessarily think that's true. I watched, like, maybe then had I not known what the future was going to hold, I would have thought that then. And maybe that really was true then. Now, current day, I know that there's a very strong love and bond between Luann and Sonia. So that makes me happy that they're able to move forward. But you said, though, so, but since shit popped off then at Carol's party. So Carol turned 50. Carol's hot. Her ass is great. She fucked George Clooney. We love Carol, right? She's a princess. But she obviously engaged Heather to be the freaking party planner. You know, so Heather partied or created this amazing party. It was like the Garden of Eden or something. I don't even know what it was, but they had the apple.
Yeah, I didn't really understand exactly what the theme was because the list of requests that Heather got for this party, she wanted like a dog walker with an invisible dog. She wanted snakes. She wanted butterflies. She wanted apples.
The butterflies died. And I love that the apples on the table because they're totally Roni themed. I hate the snakes, so I'm glad they weren't able to come because I hate snakes. All the butterflies died. They wanted them black and white, but I appreciate the sentiment and the thought and the, you know, dedication to the theme. But the whole party turned out fucking great.
It turned out really great. And the best part of
why
it
was Harry there?
My very favorite part was Heather's speech.
Wait, that was the best thing. Carol wrote it herself. Yeah. Obviously, it was an email. That was fantastic. But my question
is, she just really showed their friendship.
Well, I loved their friendship. I loved them at the gay bar. Was that last season or this season that they got so fucking drunk? It was last season, I think.
That was last season because I think that was the same situation where Ramona's like, LGBT, I've never heard of that.
Yes, because we talked, I think I said this exact same thing on last month's season 5 podcast, but I loved that scene. That scene sticks out to me in my mind. I love their friendship, and they were fucking rocked, and they got so wasted and had their fancy New York night clothes on, and they went and lived their life. But okay, this is what I want to tell you. At that party, I feel like there might have been a little extra production involved because Sonia just was like, and then Luann, because that's what you reference when Luann mentions that her and Jacques broke up. And then Sonia says, and then Luann says, I'm single now, and then leaves with Harry. Well, we find out at the reunion that it was Luann and Harry and Heather and her husband. There was a variety of people that all got in a cab and they all went out together. My question to you is, one, why was Harry at Carol's 50th birthday party? Because was he her plus one? No, was he her actual plus one?
I think so, because that's the night that he like, in gay, like proposed
gave her the ring.
But so have you heard the backstory on this?
Well, so they arrived together and then he left with Luann.
Yeah. Yeah.
But a group of people. So basically he just left without Sonia. He didn't leave with Luann. He just left without Sonia, right?
Yeah. But Sonia here is like a more nefarious version of the story where Harry, like after he proposes, quote unquote, or gives her a ring, which years later, Heather has revealed that that ring was actually like this, that was all just produced. Like that whole ring situation, that was actually a ring that Ramona was wearing to the party, and Sonia got Ramona to hand over the ring to like have Harry propose with it.
I'm shooken. Oh my God.
Mind blown, right?
Don't tell me that.
Yeah.
Because then that means that they're all fucking liars.
I mean, Heather is definitely calling out a lot of different things on her podcast, but that's one thing that I have heard is that that whole situation was faked.
Wow. That's disappointing.
I do think Sonya probably had feelings, and you know, I mean, this we're getting like to like the next episode's the season finale right after this. So I think Sonya was hoping like we're gonna go out with a big bang, but then like obviously since it's fake, Harry doesn't feel like he needs to hang around and wait for her, but it just makes it look so much worse for her that like, you know, she got stood up or like left at a party after she was like given a ring, a promise ring, engagement ring, friendship ring, whatever we're calling it, cock ring.
Nah, that's hilarious. Well, you know, I wish that we could have ended maybe with a high note with Sonia being in love, but it wasn't meant to be. Harry's not the one. And I think that, you know,
we still did end on a little bit of a high note with Sonia because we got like the finale was her party, and I feel like that's always fun when you get to have the finale party.
Yeah, with the interns, the team Sonia party, and you know, it's Aviva did her thing all season. I gave
to the stars.
Well, I was going to say, you know, Aviva did her thing all season, and then she ended her season with a bang or a slam.
Or leg throw.
Whatever we want to call it, a throw, a bang, a slam, a throw, whatever. And
these women, I don't think we mentioned it, but these women, like, so Aviva didn't go on this girls' trip to Montana. And what I love two different things. First of all, Bravo cut her out of the opening. During all of the Montana episodes.
Yep.
Love that. You don't show up, you don't get paid, you're not on the episode.
Yep.
But then, like, all the other women are like, your asthma did not keep you from going to Montana. You live in New York fucking City. You don't think the air here is, like, what you think the air in New York City is, like, the most pure air there is?
New York City air is get real, bitch. New York City air is way more polluted than fucking Montana air, that's for sure.
Yeah, it might have done her some good.
Well, yeah, I think...
She's always got to have an excuse. They took away the excuse of her not being able to, like, fly in small planes, so...
Yeah, well, had she gone to the Montana trip and had she maybe not thrown her leg... Like, I don't even feel like the leg throw is that interesting. It's just so blah. She's so boring to me. Like, while she's good TV at first, she gets very exhausting, and she ran her course. And I really love that Bravo didn't shove her down our throat for another season.
It like, just felt like she knew how to self-produce herself. And, I mean, the whole leg thing, like, I think she'd always planned on doing that because she knew that the women were going to confront her again.
Well,
because obviously word got back to her that the entire time they were on the trip, they were all talking shit about her. Because, I mean, first of all, the bitch had a fucking wheelchair waiting for her at the airplane ramp in Montana. Like, this bitch is deranged.
Well, and she knew there was no way out, right? She's like, I feel like she was like, I'm at the point of no return. So either I'm going to put the, like, I'm going to press the gas all the way. I'm going to run into this fucking wall and just blow this bitch up. Or I'm just going to stop like a little mouse and sit there and have the cops take me away. No, it was like, let's fuck this shit up. And she really did destroy this shit. And I got to tell you, thank you again, Bravo, for not making me sit through another season with this woman. And I will say, like I said a few times already, this is the end of Ramona that we know, right? And at the reunion, we learned that, you know, maybe there was some unfaithfulness. Ramona definitely shut things down with Andy. She was not open to talking about things, even though she was definitely the one aiming and pulling the trigger when it came to Luann and her failed marriage.
I mean, she was definitely trying to get the subject changed. And I mean, it's fucked up that she's talked about Luann, and I can totally understand why she's shutting that stuff down. Because it's like, no one wants to talk about it. Especially, like, I think she says years later that, like, one of the main things is, like, her and Mario were actually trying to work things out at that time. So she wasn't trying to say anything that was going to, like, fuck up her chance at potentially, like, I mean, you're with someone 25 years, and, like, I don't know what she knew, but if she thought it was just a one-time slip-up, if you've been with someone for 25 years, maybe you feel like you can move past that. And I think that's where she was.
Never.
And I think she had some sort of deal with him that said, you know, if you don't talk about it, we're going to be able to make it through it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that she was also saving face for her daughter's sake, as every mother wants to do, as
exactly.
Luann attempted to do, and Ramona did not respect that those boundaries, and now Ramona, you know, karma's a bitch, and now Ramona finds herself in that same situation. But
I don't think Luann is like such a vindictive bitch that she's like reveling in it. But like, if I were Luann, you know, at the back of my mind, I'd be like, karma.
Oh, 100%. I mean, and so next season, you know, in season 7, we're going to see, you know, Bethany, the bee is back, right? Bethany's going to come back after the dissolution of her marriage with Jason. You know,
but this is when the real star is going to enter the show. Well, I mean, the bee's all right, but.
Well, I'm just saying, so Bethany is going to be able to relate to Ramona in this next stage of her life, right? Because Bethany's going to have had her spinoffs already, her kid, and now the woman who thought maybe she was a little too good to be a housewife is back. Yeah. And then they bring the real MVP up in, the real MF and MVP. Okay.
You guys would understand this a lot better if you guys could see us talking with our hands, but we're talking about clip, Dorinda.
Yes. Sweet Dorinda Medley joins on season 7. So we're so excited about that. She'll become a full-time housewife. Obviously, she's like popped in here and there in the earlier seasons, but we've just gotten little glances of her. So Dorinda makes her grand debut, and we can't freaking wait. And if you guys have not, and like we said, we're going to do an Ultimate Girls Trip episode, we think. A quick little Bravo's critics critique.
Maybe after episode 4 or so, because I've heard episode 4 from a cast member is particularly explosive.
Yes, we've got the inside scoop, and one of the cast members says, we're about to learn some real important things, guys. Like, we're about to find out some, like, real tea, so we're excited about that. But until then, make sure that you listen to our interview with Dorinda Medley. We had the chance to interview her. We talked all things Roni. We talked all things Ultimate Girls Trip. And it was a fantastic time. So you can catch that anywhere you catch your podcast. Also on YouTube if you want to watch the video. And we also have an interview coming up with another legendary Roni castmate. So make sure that you are staying tuned and following Bravo Critics and That Bravo Gay and Bravo and T for all updates. And we will be sure to post everything regarding our new little Roni interview coming up soon. Last but not least, please make sure you guys are liking, rating, and subscribing to our podcast. It makes a difference, and it means more to us than you guys know. So,
and share it with all the girls that you listen to Bravo with.
For real. Like, we talk all the good shit. And we're going, and if there's anything you guys want us to talk, let us know. So until then, until next time, everybody, cheers.
Cheers.
Everyone's a critic.